Good morning. Welcome to Seminary Day Chapel 2019. And I have to say I'm very thankful that we had no weather cancellations this year. The weather was not peachy keen, but we got it done. And everybody stayed on the road or up in the air as long as they were supposed to. So we're glad for that. You're going to hear from college students this morning, from seminary students, even from some directors and faculty. At least those are the ones who participated. 13 in all speakers. And you know, this year we had about 30 support personnel doing other things in churches besides the speakers who were asked to share. That's amazing. Several different churches enjoyed that kind of support. And I was impressed by the preparation of the speakers. I had a chance to observe the process, and we have a stellar group of speakers who go out and represent this school every year, and we're thankful for this year's group again. Now here's a note to the speakers. No prompt signs this year. We're living in the digital age, so I'll tell you how many minutes you have left, simply. And here's an adjustment. We were going to be short a couple of speakers. I gave you 5 to 7 minutes to shoot for in your sharing. Move it closer to 5 than 7, because I repopulated the list, and now we have a full slate of speakers. However, if you feel like God has given you a dispensation for the full 7 minutes, we're behind you. You do that. And I think that's all I want to say. I want to give maximum time to the speakers. So Russ Falk is going to start us off.
Well, this was my, as far as I know, it's my last seminary day here at the school. And done it a lot of times. This time was just as special as other times. I had the privilege of going to Southwinds Church in the community of Cranston down in the southeast with James Honore, seminary student. He just takes one class on Friday, so you might not see him during the regular week. But me and him had the privilege of going down there with Pastor Bo Neal. If I were to sum up Seminary Day in a real brief phrase, I guess I'd probably borrow from Genesis 1 and say it was good. Pastor Bo, he's a former grad. So he knows the deal. He knows how Seminary Day works, and he knows the preparation that goes into it. He knows that students can be maybe a little bit nervous and all that, and he was just so kind and gracious and accommodating, even in the weeks leading up to Seminary Day, going back and forth on emails, you know, asking questions, working out minute details, and all these little things like, well, you know, can I use this Bible translation? Is it okay if I wear this? And all that. So he was just so kind and gracious in that, and he really made James and I feel like we were at home, like we were on home turf there, and that we weren't coming into some foreign church of someone else as these guests, but he made us feel very much at home. I think one thing that really helped, at least for myself, James is a new student, so he probably hasn't experienced this yet, but Southwinds Church is a church that's very involved here at this school in the community. I can't count how many times I've seen Pastor Bo or else his church members helping out at various events, speaking in chapel, whatever it is, giving us gift bags at that barbecue that opens up the school season. You guys know what I'm talking about. They've done all kinds of things like that. So, you know, I'm going to a church that's very involved with this school, very connected. They know who we are, and we know who they are. It was, apart from Pastor Bo, it was a very welcoming church. People were super kind and friendly to us, made us feel like we were just right at home there. And I think even in the weeks leading up to Seminary Day in my conversations with Pastor Bo, one thing that stood out to me was the possessive language that he used when speaking. For example, in emails back and forth, he would refer to the seminary as our seminary. He'd refer to James and I as our students. It wasn't just the seminary, you know, this abstract place out there that's kind of distant, but it was our seminary. He very much took possession and took ownership of the seminary and of the students. So I love that. So we're going to this church who feels like they're taking possession of us. You know, we belong to them and we're just going to them. So that was awesome. They just took ownership. We got to go there early enough to help set up. It's a church plant. They meet in this community center where actually Nicole's brother got married a couple years back. So familiar territory. And we got to help them set up. And that was great. You know, they're a well-oiled machine. They've been doing this for like 10, 11 years. So everyone knows the drill. But it was amazing. You know, we get there, it's just a big empty room, and they bring out the stacks of chairs, and you know, I'm kind of new, so not really sure what's going on, and Pastor Bo is very precisely setting up, okay, this is the first chair, everything else kind of works out from here. So it's like, okay, don't want to put things in the wrong spot. So, you know, like this side's going to kind of angle that way. You know, I'm ready to like break out my protractor, make sure I'm doing it right, got my ruler, and all of a sudden you just got kids coming out of the woodwork. I don't even know where they were before this, but all of a sudden they got a bunch of kids and they're just showing up, they're taking chairs out, they're setting up, and no parents are barking at them. It's not like mom and dad saying, hey, you know, go set up those chairs, go help those seminary students and go help the church members. But I think it just shows the nature of the church, and that even the youth, even these young kids, when the chairs come out, they know, hey, it's time to set up, and we're going to all pitch in. It's not like there's a setup committee, and well, that's their job, I don't touch that. No, even the kids are setting up, which was so cool. Never, I don't think, would that ever happen in the youth at my church. But it was great to see a church that serves and that has youth so involved. They showed the video, and that was great. That was really well done. James got to give a testimony of kind of his faith journey a little bit, and his whole family was there. If you've never spoken to James Honore, I would encourage you, go ask him about just his kids. He's got two twin boys, Paul and David. They're 3 years old. Ask him about his twin boys. That was the bulk of what he shared in his testimony. Awesome God story. So he got to share that. I got to preach. Pastor Bo gave me the opportunity to preach, which again is just so kind of a pastor. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. Sure, you know, come open the Bible to my congregation. So got to preach on Matthew 5, 38 to 48. If you don't have that memorized, Sermon on the Mount, you know, you've heard that it was said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, but I say to you. And then you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I say to you. So that was a sermon. It was really good. Even after the service, people just made us feel so welcomed, and they were just so appreciative for our being there, for the testimony, even for the sermon, and for our helping out. We got to go for lunch with Pastor Bo and Kinsley, who's the other staff member down there, and that just gave us more time to hear about what God's done in that church plant over these past 11 years, how he's worked, how he's moved, the things that are going on right now in those communities, the things that the church is involved with, which was just awesome. In a lot of ways, it was a short and sweet experience, but it was good. And I guess, you know, just I'll close with a highlight maybe of the seminary day. So if you went on seminary day, you remember the meetings, how Dr. Blackaby and Dr. Dawn kind of told us to make sure you thank the church for their giving, and we did that, you know, thank you, because Cell Twins has very generously supported our school, made my tuition cheaper, which is great. You know, I want to thank them for that. But I also wanted to thank them for maybe a little bit more personal things. For example, I like running. I like going to the gym. You know what I use in the gym? Cell Twins Church water bottle. You know where I got that from? From one of those fall welcome to school barbecues. They gave us gift bags, Cell Twins Church water bottle. So thank you, Cell Twins, for your water bottle. The other thing I want to thank them for is their pens, the Cell Twins Church pens. And I guess I shared this with them, so I'll just give you a little backstory. A couple weeks before seminary day, me and Nicole and the kids, Titus and Jude, were driving down to Kananaskis getting ready to go skiing. And I think I have the liberty to share this even without Nicole being there. I guess you need to be careful how much you divulge about married conversation with your spouse, right? Married life conversations. So anyways, we're driving down to Kananaskis, and we're talking about which one is our favorite pen. And I've known Nicole for about 10 years, and I don't know if I'd ever had the courage to ask her this question before, but I thought, you know what, now's the time, and I really want to get to know my wife better, so just out of curiosity, I said, Nicole, what's your favorite pen? Because one of our favorite pens had just died, and she said, you know, probably the pen that died, that was probably my favorite pen. And then, you know, she reciprocates, well, what's your favorite pen? And I told her, well, it's probably that Southwinds Church pen, actually. So I told this to Southwinds because I want to thank them for the water bottle that I use and is very practical in my life, and for my favorite pen, which comes from Southwinds Church. And wouldn't you know, when we're setting up, there's even a table full of Southwinds Church pens where they do their communion giving in their envelopes. And I told them, never have I felt such covetousness fill my heart as when I saw this table full of Southwinds Church pens. You know, all of a sudden, like, five-finger discounts start going through my head. I feel like Paul in Romans 7. I wouldn't have known what it meant to covet unless I would have seen this table of Southwinds Church pens. So it was awesome. So anyways, I wanted to thank them for the Southwinds Church pen that they gave. And so fast forward, we're having lunch. We're at Edo down in Seton with Pastor Bowen Kinsley, and they get there, and you know, we're all just getting settled. And Kinsley comes up to me and she says, thanks for coming, thanks for sharing. That was great what you said about the water bottle and the pens. You know, we really appreciate that. And wouldn't you know what she gives me? She gives me a Southwinds Church pen. It's the simple things in life. It was good.
Well, I don't know if I can follow that, but I feel like I'm in a bit of a different position here than most Seminary Day speakers, because the pastor's wife is sitting right in front of me and she's filming everything I say. So I had the chance to go to Emmanuel Church here in Cochrane, and Christian actually wasn't there. He was out on Seminary Day himself. But we've got a lot of connections with this church plant, and I mean, it's right down the street, but I had never had a chance to visit before. So that was actually really cool. I was really excited to go and see them. And the Hispanic-Latino culture really has a special place in my heart. I lived in Uruguay for 4 years growing up, and I've been to Mexico a couple times on mission trips, and my dad speaks Spanish. So it was really cool to be able to be a part of that. And so as I got to Bow Valley, and I walk into the building, and I'm greeted by their worship practice. And it is loud, it is enthusiastic, everybody's involved, and Mary Parra is leading. So, of course, she's got the entire room worshiping during practice, which was just, it was a really neat way to set the tone and to kind of catch the environment and the spirit of the church even walking into it. And worship itself was absolutely incredible. It's so neat to hear people of different cultures worshiping in different languages. It was half English, half Spanish, and it wasn't hard to follow no matter what language you spoke, because you knew that you were worshiping the same God, you were singing the same songs, and it was a really neat experience. I also had the privilege of watching Christian and Claudia's daughter, Alicia, play piano for worship, which was really special to me because I've been teaching her for the last year or so, and I got to teach her chords for worship music, and to see her use that and just praising God and taking it so much further than what I had taught her was really, really special. So Christian had asked me to share a little bit about my missionary experience, my calling, and kind of what God is asking me to do. And as I was trying to figure out how to do that, I was actually struggling with it a little bit because, yes, I grew up, I mean, I lived in South America for a bit. I've done a bunch of mission trips to different places. At this point, I don't necessarily feel that I'm called to overseas missions. So I was kind of trying to wrestle with how do I frame this? What do I say? And one thing that came to my mind, obviously, was growing up with my dad, who is an evangelist to the ultimate level. Anybody here who's met my dad will know that. And he actually reminds me a lot of Caesar. So that was a connection point with the church right there. So I just shared a little bit about growing up with that image of what evangelism and missions looks like, and always feeling like I couldn't live up to that because that's not my personality, and I'm so different from my dad. And just sharing how God has led me through the different mission trips he's taken me on and the different ministry experience I've had to show me that mission and ministry looks different for every person, that God has a specific call for each of his children, and that doesn't look the same for everybody. And afterwards, I actually had somebody come up to me and say just how much that had meant, because they had often struggled with the same thing of, you know, seeing these great examples of what missions and evangelism looks like and feeling like they couldn't live up to that, but knowing that God has a specific plan and a specific call for each of his children, and that we just need to be obedient to that. So that was really cool. And it was illuminating for me to even think through that as I was preparing what I was going to share for Seminary Day. So yeah, the process of putting all of that together was just a good reminder of what I've been called to be faithful and obedient in. And a reminder to keep going even when the semester gets hard. Now, people who go out on Seminary Day, they always say that, oh, you know, I went to this church and I left more blessed than what I gave. But this time, I really, really felt like that was true, more so than any of my other seminary day experiences, probably up to this point, because as I was, I shared my testimony, Mary translated, she's an amazing translator, and then Caesar got up to speak right at the end, and he said, you know, Alicia has shared what she's called to do, and she's called to a difficult field as well. Let's everybody get up and pray for her. And I'm going, well, no, I'm here to bless you. But no, he called the entire congregation, and they came and surrounded me and laid their hands on me and prayed for me and hugged me. And it was this incredible, I don't know, just an incredible bonding experience. And again, recognizing that we are all the body of Christ. We are in this together, no matter whether we're called to overseas missions, whether we're called to teaching, to discipleship, to church planting, whatever that looks like, we're in this together. And we're the children of God. We're his body. And that was such an encouraging reminder for me, and really timely, actually. It came at the perfect time. So after the service, I got to visit with a few people and just hear their heart a little bit, hear about the ministry that's going on there, and that church is doing an amazing thing. I'm really excited about Christian and Claudia's church plant and Caesar and Mary and everything that they're doing, the people that they've gathered. It's an amazing community. And the scripture that I had brought out in my testimony was 2 Corinthians 12, Paul's thorn in the flesh, and just the reminder that God's grace is sufficient, that his power is made perfect in our weakness. So no matter our background, no matter what we're called to, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, we're in this together, and God's grace is enough. So I felt like I was reminded of that more than anything through my seminary day experience. I hope that I was able to bless them a little bit, but they were definitely a blessing to me. So thanks.
Hi. Thank you for all this time. I would like to share the three things about the seminary day in Bow Valley. I'm the Bow Valley member. First, thank you so much for giving the opportunity to serve the CMBC Church and to learn from the church. Thanks school, faculty, staff, and Gary, and Pastor Gary, and Bow Valley Church as well. Second, we did a team preaching with Paolo and Dr. Don. So it was the first time I had learned excellent teamwork and consideration from Dr. Don and Paolo. Thank you for the team. Last, when I prepared the sermon, I found one amazing story about one guy. His name is William McKenzie. I want to introduce the story. He was a missionary. He was born Newfoundland and Labrador. He was Canadian. He came to Korea to serve the poor and the sick 116 years ago. The mission department in Canada declined his request because of the lack of finance. But he came to Korea himself. After 6 months, he arrived to South Korea from the Labrador. At that time, he was 32 years old. He directly went to the worst town in Korea, and he started a new church. It was the first church in South Korea. He loved Koreans more than Koreans did. One day, while he was preaching the gospel, he collapsed because of his stroke and overworking himself. Finally, he passed away. The church members sent a letter to the Canadian church saying, please send us missionaries like William McKenzie. He was an angel in Korea. When the Canadian Mission Board received the letter from Korea, they had sent over 100 missionaries from that time. My mission is training disciples, sending missionaries, and supporting churches. That is my mission. However, recently I was struggling with studying, but I was fully encouraged by this story. by him. The seminar day was a wonderful time to me. Team preaching is a wonderful time. And, you know, I'm the member of the Bow Valley, but I did a lot of volunteers. But preaching is first time. It's a good time to me. Thanks, God. Thanks, Canadian Church. That's why I came here. Yeah, William McKenzie started, and I believe Jesus, I received Jesus, and I came here. I studied here. I met amazing guys and staff and school and faculty and teachers and friends. Thanks, CSBS and CNBC. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Paulo Fogaça, and I had the pleasure to graduate at this school back in 2013. So it would be safe to say, right, that Russ, there's a great chance that this is not your last seminary day, right? Yeah, and I'm a part-time worker at Bow Valley Baptist Church as well, right? And when I was invited, really, I didn't have a chance to say no, right? You know, Pastor Gary and Dr. John, they sent out an email, and I said, well, right the same day. He was even impressed with the answer, right? The time that I sent back the answer, said, okay, I'm in, right? And it would be a great experience for me, right? First, the church was invaded by seminary students there, right, and professors as well. We had people like leading our connection groups on Sunday morning, preaching at Resonate, our Saturday night service, leading the worship time. Wow, that was amazing, right? And three preachers, right? As Sungho said, we teamed up to preach there. And the passage that was given to us, that was Pastor Gary asked us to talk about, was from Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, right? And personally, I immediately had something to share that I would like, right? But since we're teaming up, I didn't know what part of the sermon I would talk about. And then when we met to share the time that we would have together, Dr. Ron, he said, well, I would like to do this part. And I jumped in and said, okay, can I do the application part? Right, because that was something that God was putting in my heart. Since at some point last year, right, I realized that I wasn't walking close to God as I should, right? And I'm sure that the word that God put in my heart was to challenge the Bow Valley people, right, to come back to their first love. And how do you do that? Right? And they were all expecting me to give that great answer. Wow, how can we do that? Please teach me. And I went, read your Bible and pray every day. Right? And they were saying, oh, that's basic. Yeah, that's the basic thing that we can do as Christians. Right? And as I said, at some point last year, I started doing that. Right? And focus my day and my life, everything that I do, everything that I have, everywhere I go, I try to somehow put God in first place and make it to his glory, even doing work or driving or anything that I'm doing out there. And that's what that verse says, right? That we surrender our lives, everything that we have, everything that we do, everything that we like, everything that our families and everything else. We should first consecrate it to God. And then I went to the second point, right? And they were surprised when the projector showed, read their Bible and pray every day, right? And it was funny because they all laughed. I said, no, that's not a typo, right? That's on purpose. And that's really serious. If we want to love God, there's just one way for us to know him. It's by the Bible, you know, where we can listen from him, and by praying, where we can talk with him. That's, we can relate to God. And so if we have a relationship with God, you know, straighten up like the cross, we'll be a blessing to our brothers and sisters around us, or for those who are not believers, right? And for me, it was a great experience, you know, to team up with these guys here and to see how this school is active here, right? It's always a blessing for me to be here, especially today, even sharing, right? And I would like to thank you, Dr. Don, for the invitation and the privilege that he gave me to share at Bow Valley. At first I said, well, I would be more comfortable, you know, going to any other church other than the church that I work, right? Because then I need to face those people the other day. But it was a blessing, right? And I think God did amazing things on that day. Okay, thank you, that's all.
Hi everyone, my name is Nathan. I think this is my first time actually speaking at chapel, so we'll see how this goes. So I've noticed when it comes to ministry and being given opportunities in ministry, I have a really hard time saying no. It's not because I want to, and I'm always willing to help out. Sometimes I am, other times not so much. Quick example, yesterday, Sarah barges into my house. Nathan, you want to speak at chapel tomorrow? And I'm like, not really. You going to do it? Yeah, I guess I'll do it. It's fine. Don't worry. So that's just an example. So I want to explain, and majority of my ministry opportunities come that way. Sarah's always like, oh, you know, she told me for seminary day, oh, you know, would you want to play for seminary day at chapel? We're putting a team together. It's nothing special. Frank is playing first keyboard. You just play backup, play second. I'm like, yeah, I'll think about it. Next thing you know, I'm being emailed song charts. I'm being emailed lyrics. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm in this. And I do that willingly. I really like it. So I never really said yes, but I still ended up participating. And but it was honestly an awesome experience. It's like Alicia said, a lot of times we feel like that you've been blessed 10 times more than you could have ever given. And for those of you who don't know, I'm not used to having church in the morning. I help out at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Bow Valley. And so I had to wake up early that morning, play at Bow Valley for seminary day. And then I had to take everything upstairs, do this, our routine, weekly routine of setup, and so we could play there. And that day, I was just exhausted. I'm not used to being up at 9 a.m. on a Sunday. It was a long day. And I'm there, you know, and I'm there. I'm playing the keyboard. And in a little, like, intermission, me and Jose were talking, you know, we're so tired, can't wait till we get home. You know, just a few more songs, and then, you know, we're done. You know, let's just give it all we have. And then next thing I know, Pastor Christian comes up to me and is like, Nathan, can you translate for me for my sermon? And I'm like, yeah, I can do it. So next thing you know, I'm translating. And before I went up, I just had a moment there with God and a little intermission between the worship and the sermon. I was just, you know, God, renew my strength. It's been a long day. I'm tired. And translating is something it's mentally exhausting. You have to be on your toes. Whoever's preaching can throw something at you really quick, and you have to be able to catch it and translate it in a way that it doesn't lose the effectiveness of what he's trying to say. And sure enough, the moment I stood up, like right now, and I grabbed that mic, every feeling inside of me that was tired just went away, and God really put that at ease. And, you know, I just have to say that, you know, even though as students, sometimes we have the tendency, you know, we all burn out. We're all human, whether it be with school, with ministry. But, you know, God has power to take that away and to renew your strength day by day. And if you need to take it day by day, hour by hour, then so be it. Just ask God for that strength. But, yeah, that's what I really want to say. It was an amazing blessing, and I'm looking forward for years to come to participate again and again. Thank you.
Bom dia. Ok, eu vou falar em português para vocês, beleza? Não, I'm just joking. So, same thing as like kind of what Nathan said, that opportunity to like play for Bow Valley was kind of intense, just because we have a long Sunday ahead of us. Not only playing in the morning, but in the afternoon as well. I didn't have the opportunity as Nathan to translate in Spanish, but yo, translate me for Portuguese, I got that all day, you know? I could do that for you guys. Yeah, it's actually my first time, too, speaking in front of you guys. You guys see me majority of the time up here just playing the bass. In the background, you guys rarely see me, but this time you guys actually get to see me. All right, so first thing I want to say is I like the opportunity that I had. Like, always playing in different churches is always a blessing. You know, it gives me, like, courage that, like, yo, I'm needed. People actually need certain things in a church, and other people have gifts and, like, talents they could do with the church. And, like, I was blessed with the talent to be given to be playing music for the church. And I thank God for giving me that opportunity to play. And honestly, I can't even put it into words because so much things is going on. I just like to have this opportunity to just say thank you to the church, to the seminary, to actually having this day for, like, the seminary students to go out to different churches, preach the word, and talk about the school itself. So, like, I'd like to just leave that in your guys' hands and just thank you for the opportunity. Thanks.
I had the chance to go to Junction Church in Mahogany. It wasn't my first time preaching there, so I know the setting. I know how it's going to be. But something I learned for Church Plant, you have to be flexible. You have to be flexible. So the first thing when I get there, I help them set up with Sunday school and help the sanctuary. And the Pastor Jim came to me and said, you know what happened? The truck won't start this morning. Which means we have all our equipment in the truck. So this morning it's just going to be a guitar and that's it. I was like, okay, I have a video. Well, we'll do that next Sunday. Okay. If you know me, even standing here just like that is killing me. I like walking when I'm talking. And what happened, the setting was like everybody, basically semicircle, and I'm sitting in the front. And I'm just like, okay, Sammy, you can do it. Just think about it. Think about it. And it was a good opportunity to chat with them. Because the message that God put in my heart that was challenging to me was John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. And the question that God was asking me is, who and where and what is your Samaria? Who is in your life that you think that I would not forgive that person? And that person is out of which? Reach. That person is not worthy. Where is this place that I think I will not go? Just like the Jews, they would not associate with any Samaritans. Who is in my life that hurts me? It can be my father or my mother. It can be a friend who betrayed me. It can be my father or my mother or boyfriend who assaulted me or abused me physically. Who is that person in my life that I say to myself, I would not forgive that person? On the flip side, if you don't know Jesus Christ, maybe you might be thinking, I've been too far, that God will not reach that far to save me. And just see yourself as the woman, that God will go even to the place. He will break down all the walls of hostilities, socially, culturally, all the walls. He will break them down, and he will reach out and save you because that is his plan. He came to seek and to save the lost. And I think God worked it out like that because as I was sitting, feeling uncomfortable, but I can read everybody. And seeing their facial expression tells me some of them were just nodding like, I have these people in my life that need Jesus. Or I have these people in my life that I need to go to and talk to. And that was a great opportunity. And afterward, as every good Baptist church, we have potluck. So I helped them setting up for the meal, and I enjoyed the meal with Pastor Jim. He's new at the church, so I think he got hired in January. And even for him to open the pulpit for me to come and preach was really huge. So I thank God for the opportunity. So it wasn't, as most of you said already, it wasn't like me going out and bless them, but I felt blessed as well as they fed me and welcomed me and also the message that challenged me. Because I have people in my life that even one person, like, make it personal. Like, my father who rejected me, I share that with him as his son. I have that person in my life that I need to go to and talk to him and reconcile. So, and it can be a challenge to you, too, this morning. Who is in your life that you might be a Samaria? Who and where and what is in your life that you need to reconcile to? It was a great time. Thanks.
One of the things for me that's so wonderful about Seminary Day is, you know, we try to punctuate the school year with moments where we pick up our head and we recognize it's more than the classes alone, although that's a significant part of what we do here. But it's about our spiritual life, and it's about what God's doing here and off campus as well. So just hearing these stories about God working in churches and then saying, it wasn't just random. God chose these students and said, yeah, I want you to go. Isn't it amazing that we even have an alumni go? Isn't that something? To say, you know, I still want to represent what God's doing in this school, even that I experienced 6 years ago after graduation. So I want to thank you for going. We're proud of you. We're excited about what God's doing in the churches and in your life. And I'd love to wrap our chapel up with prayer. Father, thanks for Dr. McNaughton's leadership. Thank you for the churches that opened their doors to our students and just the stories that we've heard in response. You're working here on our campus. We feel it. And that has intersected with what you're doing in churches in our nation, in our denomination. And all of this is you, and we want to say thank you for your goodness toward us. In Jesus' name, amen.